From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
The news first, the headlines. President pushes for integrated handling of COVID-19 in East Java. President said Banyuwangi is ready for precondition to new normal. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo threw his weight behind adopting an integrated approach to handle the novel coronavirus disease pandemic to reduce the number of cases of those infected with the virus. President Jokowi noted during his working visit to monitor the acceleration in handling the COVID-19 pandemic at the Grahadi building in Surabaya on Thursday, that he gives a two-week time period to control the COVID-19 pandemic in an integrated manner. The head of state remarked that all organizational units in East Java, including Task Force for COVID-19 handling in provinces, districts, cities, and villages, must continue to coordinate while working jointly to conduct measurable crisis management. The president also pointed out that the highest number of cases were recorded in the greater Surabaya area that included Surabaya City and the district of Sidoarjo and Gresik. The spread of COVID-19 in those areas should firstly be brought under control. President Joko Widodo was visiting Pantai Wisata Solong Banyuwangi in his sidelines of his working visit to East Java province to ensure the readiness for new normals. The president said to the media that Banyuwangi is ready to the new normal.
Saya melihat di lapangan Banyuwangi adalah daerah yang saya lihat paling siap.
I can see that Banyuwangi is very much ready for the precondition to the new normal and the local government and the people participation. I can see that is very good.
Peran masyarakat saya lihat di sini partisipasinya sangat bagus sekali.
President Jokowi appreciated the tourism in Banyuwangi that is involving local people. The 3-star hotels are for local businessmen. Meanwhile, the 4 and the 5 stars hotels for the investor. President said this model could be followed by other regions. The Indonesian embassy in Panama City, Panama, in cooperation with the U.S. ship company Holland America Line, repatriated 53 Indonesian ship crew members by Garuda Indonesia flight on Thursday afternoon, Panama time, June 25. This was conveyed by Reinhard Sinaga, counselor at the Indonesian embassy in Panama City, in his statement to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Friday morning, Indonesia time. He conveyed, in the history of Indonesia-Panama relation, this was the first time a Garuda Indonesia plane had landed in Panama.
Dapat kami sampaikan juga bahwa penerbangan Garuda Indonesia ke Panama ini.
We would like to convey that the Garuda Indonesia flight to Panama is unique and historic and has received the attention of the people of Panama and Indonesia because it is the first time Garuda Indonesia landed in Panama since the establishment of relations between Indonesia and Panama.
Pertama sekali terjadi sejak terjalinnya hubungan diplomatik Indonesia dan Panama.
Reinhard Sinaga further said that the 53 repatriated Indonesian ship crew members are scheduled to arrive in Jakarta on Saturday afternoon. He added all repatriation costs are borne by the Holland America Line company. The Indonesian embassy in Panama City only facilitates in terms of the completeness of documents and related permits, which are the main tasks of the Indonesian embassy in Panama City. Indonesia, along with Tunisia and South Africa, initiated a ministerial-level meeting of the UN Security Council to deliberate on Israel's unilateral plan to annex Palestine. At a virtual open meeting of the UNSC on Wednesday, June 24, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi emphasized that the Israeli plan will have significant repercussions on the future of Palestinian people who have since long faced injustice and reeled from human rights violation. At a meeting chaired by France that holds the presidency of the UNSC this month, the ministers cited three reasons for the international community to reject the annexation plan. First, Israel's formal plan to annex Palestinian territories is a violation of the international law. Second, Israel's formal annexation plan is a test of the UNSC's credibility and legitimacy in the eyes of the world. Third, annexation will spell the end of the long-stalled peace process while also creating instability in the region and the world. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Now let's move on to the international news. Pakistan International Airlines, PIA, has grounded 150 pilots over claims they may not hold a valid license. Pakistan's aviation minister told Parliament on Wednesday that a large number of commercial pilots hold fake license or cheated in exams. It comes as an initial report into a PIA crash that killed 97 people last month found the cause to be human error by the pilot and air traffic control. Pakistan has triggered aviation safety record with a number of crashes. Aviation Minister Ghulam Sarwar Khan shared the findings of an initial report into May's crash on Wednesday, but also referred to a wider government probe which had been launched after a different crash. Khan said investigation had found that more than 260 of the country's 860 active pilots had either fake license or had cheated in their exam. Government experts believe more than 20 million Americans could have contracted the coronavirus 10 times more than official counts, indicating many people without symptoms have or have had the disease. The estimates from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is based on serology testing used to determine the presence of antibodies that shows whether an individual has the disease. CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield told reporters that right now is that for every case that was reported, there actually were 10 other infections. This was because testing was restricted to people with symptoms and asymptomatic carriers were not tested. The estimate was based on the number of known cases between 2.3 million and 2.4 million. Multiplied by the average rate of antibodies seen from the serology test, about an average of 10 to 1. If true, the estimates would suggest the percentage of U.S. death from the disease is lower than thought. More than 120,000 Americans have died from the disease since the pandemic erupted earlier this year. More than 100 people in northern India have been killed by dozens of lightning strikes across the two states in recent days, officials said. The disaster management team in Bihar state said 83 were killed there, while another 20 were in hospital with injuries. At least 20 more people are reported dead in neighboring Uttar Pradesh. Lightning strikes are common in India during heavy monsoon rains. Meanwhile, the rain and thunderstorms have caused widespread damage to trees and property. More than 2,300 people were killed by lightning in India in 2018, according to the National Crime Records Bureau, and at least 2,000 people have died in lightning strikes every year since 2005. One of the reasons cited for the high number of deaths is the large number of people working outdoors in India compared to other parts of the world, which makes them more vulnerable. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nika Kusumati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia's in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling President Putin's tenor. Without Putin, there is no Russia. This word seems to be the general view of the Kremlin staff, who may also be millions of Russians. Over the last two decades, they have placed Vladimir Putin in power as prime minister and president. The mandate is very likely to be renewed on July 1st. After millions of Russians participated in a referendum to change the constitution, Vladimir Putin opened the door for constitutional changes that would allow him to remain in power until 2036. A public vote on constitutional reform has been scheduled for July 1st. Analysts see Putin's plans to change the constitution as a preliminary preparation for succession when his term ends in 2024. Putin is a figure who has dominated Russia's political world for the past two decades, both as president and prime minister. In January, Putin announced the proposed constitutional change but needed further approval from parliament. Putin then suddenly appeared and gave a speech in front of the ministerial parliaments. In essence, he submitted a proposed amendment to decision of the constitutional court, which would formally calculate the period of his administration from zero. The Constitutional Court is expected to give its approval for the proposed amendment and support it in the national vote. Thus, Putin could return to office as president for a period of 6 years. Putin is currently 67 years old. In January, he launched a major overhaul of Russian politics. Constitutionally, his term as president should end in 2024. But after speaking to the Duma, which is the lower house of the Russian parliament, on Tuesday, a proposal emerged that would formally reset the president's terms to zero. In principle, this is indeed possible, but with one condition. The Constitutional Court must give an official ruling that such an amendment will not conflict with the main principles and provisions of the Constitution. That was commentary. I'm Nika Kusumawati.
Welcome back to Today in History. We start from a history on June 26, 1945, was the signing of UN Charter. The UN Charter is a UN constitution signed in San Francisco on June 26, 1945, by 50 original members of the UN. This charter came into force on October 24, 1945, after being ratified by five founding members, namely the Republic of China, France, the Soviet Union, the United Kingdom, and the United States. This charter is a constituent agreement, and all signatory countries are bound by the charter's contents. In addition, the charter also explicitly stated that it has more power than other treaties. This charter was ratified by the United States on August 8, 1945, and became the first country to join the United Nations. Next turn on June 26, 1988, commemorating the Day Against Drug Abuse and the World Illicit Trade, International Day Against Drug Abuse and Trafficking of Illegal Drugs, was commemorated every year on June 26 since 1988. This date was chosen to commemorate the dismantling of Lin Zhezu for the opium trade in Hunan, Guangdong, before the Opium War in China. This commemoration was set by the United Nations through General Assembly Resolution 42-112 on December 7, 1987. The commemoration of the day became a form of solidarity and cooperation to achieve the goals of the international community free from drug abuse.
and with a history on June 26, 2000. Pramudia Ananta Tour receives special award at the 11th Fukuoka Asian Cultural Award. Pramudia Ananta Tour is the most important writer in Indonesian literature in the 20th century. His work has been translated into 37 languages and has been nominated several times for the Nobel Prize in Literature. On June 26, 2000, he received the Grand Prize at the Fukuoka Asian Cultural Award. This award is a prize given for achievement in the field of creating and preserving Asian culture. This award was given since 1990 by the city government of Fukuoka, Japan. Pramudia received the award for his services introducing Asian culture to the world. And listener, that was today in history.
Diriku mencari dan ternyata ku sendiri mengharap kehadiranmu menemani diri ini saat kau tak di sisiku dan ku pun terus mencari mengharap kehadiranmu menemani bayangmu terus menyapaku di mimpi. Mengapa begitu sulit melupakan kamu? Maaf bila ku tak pernah bisa membuktikan bahwa diriku yang memang terbaik. Cinta untuk semua kenangan indah bersama. Saat diriku mencari bayangmu terus menari di atas kerinduanku, ku semakin tak mengerti mengapa bayangmu terus menyapaku di mimpi. Mengapa begitu sulit melupakan kamu? Maaf bila ku tak pernah bisa membuktikan bahwa diriku yang memang terbaik untuk bila ada kesempatan. Maafkan diriku tak bisa membuktikan kepada dirimu. Oh, 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 oh. Maaf bila ku tak pernah bisa membuktikan bahwa diriku yang memang bersamamu.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, Ministry of Industry Increase Performance of Furniture Industry. The Ministry of Industry improved the performance of the furniture industry since furniture is an export-oriented and labor-intensive industry. This was conveyed by Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita when directly observing the production process and the application of health protocol in furniture factory in Demak, Central Java. Minister Agus Gumiwang said, one of the furniture factories in Demak, Central Java has become a pride for the nation being able to produce high-quality products. It also proves the high competence of industrial human resources in Indonesia. For example, in the manufacture of grand piano musical instruments with the best specifications in the world. Minister Agus Gumiwang said that this high-quality product proved that Indonesia is able to meet the needs of the global market. Even in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, the factory which manufactures export furniture for the needs of hotels still received sizable new orders from a network of hotel companies abroad. The company continues to operate without terminating employment or cutting salaries to its 2,000 workers. To prevent the spread of COVID-19 among employees, the factory has implemented health protocols strictly. The minister also focused on encouraging the industrial sector to contribute more to the national gross domestic product GDP. This is because so far the manufacturing sector has been able to contribute significantly for the Indonesian economy. The Ministry of Industry noted throughout 2018, the value of shipments of national furniture products reached up to $1.69 billion, or 4% increase compared to the acquisition in 2017. Meanwhile, Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang also inspected electronics factory. He said electronics industry is one of the manufacturing sectors that receives development priorities according to the Making Indonesia 4.0 roadmap. Moreover, he said his ministry could see the electronics factory had implemented 4.0 industry or digitalization so that there was no problem in regulating the application of health protocol. In addition to monitoring the implementation of the health protocol, he wants to get a direct report from the company regarding the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on sales. Agus Gumiwang added, he was determined to continue to deepen the structure of the domestic electronics industry so that it could spur its competitiveness to the global level. That was My Indonesia.
Mungkinkah
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, meet again with me, Putri, in Indonesian Wonder. For today's edition, I would like to introduce you Mangrove Karangsong area. Listener, there is an interesting tourism attraction, namely Karangsong Mangrove Ecotourism Area. It is not far from downtown of Indramayu, West Java. It takes about 10 minutes to drive. Karangsong Mangrove Forest has an area of about 20 hectares, and there are various types of mangrove trees which are planted and developed. By paying an entrance ticket, 5,000 rupiahs, you are able to enter the tourism area, including parking fee. Listeners, in the past time, Karangsong Mangrove Forest Ecotourism was an area that was frequently hit by abrasion disaster. The condition makes the residents realize to make abrasion detention by planting mangroves along the area. Besides functioning as the abrasion barrier, Karangsong Mangrove has also become one of the educational facilities. In the ecotourism area, there are two types of mangroves that can be found, namely Avicennia marina and Rhizophora mucronata. The Avicennia group is the one closest to the sea, while the Rhizophora group has breathe roots that can adapt to low oxygen levels. Listeners, you can enjoy the beauty of the Karangsong Mangrove Forest by walking around the forest. Besides going around, there is a view tower that is at several points, making it possible for you to see the expanse of mangroves. If you are lucky, you can enjoy flying seagulls and perch on mangrove trees. The birds use mangrove trees as a habitat to live. You can also walk along the coast of this mangrove area and enjoy the beauty of the Java Sea. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Mangrove Karangsong area in West Java. We'll meet again with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Semakin menyerang kalaulah ku dapat membaca pikiranmu dengan sayap pengharapanku ingin terbang jauh. Biar awan jalan pun gelisah, daun-daun jatuh berguguran. Namun cintamu kasih terbit laksana bintang yang bersinar cerah menerangi jiwa. Andaikan ku dapat mengungkapkan perasaanku hingga membuat kau percaya, akan ku berikan seutuhnya rasa cintaku selamanya, selamanya.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Miss Eleni. Today's edition will inform you about Andika Sudarman, the first Indonesian youth chosen to speak at the Harvard Law School graduation. So stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Harvard University can be regarded as the ideal of almost all students in the world. Each year, Harvard Law School accepts only around 800 students from all over the world. This year, Andika Putra Sudarman is the only Indonesian who graduated from Harvard Law School, alma mater of former United States President Barack Obama. Not just graduating, Andika, a young man from Tanjung Pinang, Riau Islands, is also a Harvard Law School class marshal, graduated with the award Harvard Law School's Dance Award, and gave a speech on Harvard Law School Graduation Day, representing class of 2020. This achievement brings about not only happiness for Andika, but also pride for his family and Indonesia. Andika is a native son of Tanjung Pinang who graduated from Tanjung Pinang One State High School, Riau Islands. Previously, he entered the Faculty of Law at University of Indonesia through the written examination in 2011. The winner of the 2014 National Level Student Achievement Champion became the first Indonesian youth in history to give a speech on the Harvard Law School Graduation Day since its foundation in 1817. Since the beginning of his study in college, Andika has been chosen to be a class marshal in his class. There were only 6 class marshals who were chosen through an election that represented around 800 people. Winning the hackathon competition held by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology or MIT became his most unique experience. Other unique experiences were being a speaker at the American Democratic Debate, an event of Harvard Law School that simulated the debate of presidential candidates at that time. That was Miscellany for today with the topic Andika Sudarman, the first Indonesian youth chosen to speak at the Harvard Law School graduation. We'll meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you next time.
That's Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listen, our next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, voice listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's segment of Music Corner, we are going to present you a song from Bengkulu entitled Yo Botoy Botoy, to be sung by Tosca. The song tells about the story of a fisherman who catches fish by using puket or trawl. The puket is a fishing tool. In Bengkulu, if fishermen pull the puket, they will scream Yo Botoy Botoy. The song, which was composed by M. Nizar, has two versions, which are distinguished from its number of notes. And today, I'm going to play a modern version with Malay pop genre to be presented by the band from Bengkulu City, namely Tosca. Well, listener, here is Tosca with the song entitled Yo Botoy Botoy.
Oh,
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Terima kasih. mungkin kau kembali untukku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at voiindonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.